Blog Talk Radio. America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Have you got your Irish up tonight? Well, it doesn't matter if you're Irish or not, because I'm going to tell you something. You know what the title of my show is tonight? Better Biden than Obama. Impeachment time and bring back the draft. Instead of playing diversity cards and race cards, instead of playing sissy wussy rights, it is time to bring back the draft. All America must unite and man up. World War III is coming, and we're out of time. America has to grow two big Liberty Bells and stop the total collapse of a nation. This Communist Party, going back to Jimmy Jihad Carter, has done nothing but surrender to Iran. The first embassy we lost was under the Communists, formerly the Democrats. Osama bin Laden, bin Laden has surrendered the USA to Iran and Putin. He is an enemy of the Constitution, which we swear an oath to uphold. He is holding secret meetings with Iran and Muslim terror groups in the Red House. The number one leader of al-Qaeda, Ayman Zawahiri, was trained in Moscow. And there's a guy, I forget his first name, his last name was Gobi Hekmajar from Iran and the Taliban. He's also Soviet KGB trained. Okay? The Russians got their hands in everything. And every time you look at a photo of what's going on in the Middle East and everybody's got a gun, they all got Russian guns. Russia's making a fortune. So, Osama bin Laden bin Laden has surrendered the U.S. to Iran and Putin. He is an enemy of the Constitution, which we swear an oath to uphold. He's holding secret meetings with Iran behind America's back and Muslim terror groups. They tell you, it's security. It's diplomatic immunity. It's BS. Cagada de toro. That's what it is. It's an excuse to hide from the American people the evil that they are perpetrating on us. Our president was trained by a communist, Frank Marshall Davis. Tonight he ordered American Marines to surrender their weapons to Iranian troops called Houthis. He still has to account for cowardice in the face of the enemy at the 9/11 anniversary Battle of Benghazi, as does the Queen of Lies, Hillary Clinton. Article 99 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice says, the commander, the CIC, the commander-in-chief, who is the highest-ranking officer in the military, who was responsible for his troops in the field, he refused to come to their aid, and he must stand trial for cowardice in the face of the enemy. Oh, you can't do that. No, no, not in mamby-pamby land, you can't. Not in sissy-wussy land, you can't. No, everybody's been indoctrinated. Yeah. Article 99 says he should be executed by firing squad. He refused to come to their aid, and he must stand trial for cowardice in the face of the enemy. The second in command, Hillary Clinton, must also account for her cowardice in the lives of Sean Smith, Ty Woods, Glenn Doherty, and one ambassador. You know why I listed it that way? Because the media, the cover-up media, all of the networks and their logos that have the letter C for communist, NBC, nothing but communist, also stands now for nothing but crap because Lion Brian has been exposed. Yeah. Then you got ABC, always be communist. CBS, the communist broadcasting system. You know, it's funny. As we're talking, they're breaking news that Bob Simon was killed in a car accident tonight on the West Side Highway. I was in Kuwait at the airport, standing, filling out my my paperwork to leave the country on a pillar that had a round table on it. And when I got home, Bob Simon was just being released from an Iraqi prison. And he was standing at that very same location that I was at some weeks before. And the interviewer was asking him what was it like in an Iraqi prison, and he didn't want to talk too much about it. Not like Brian Wilson, who would have told you he escaped. But you know what bothered me? That one of the questions that was asked, you ready for this? The interviewer asked Bob Simon, do Americans scream differently under torture than Arabs? And he said, yes. How's that? So, we'll say a little prayer for Bob Simon. And may he go to a good place. So, Hillary Clinton must account for her cowardice. Somebody hung up the phone on those guys. They had laser painted the mortar platoon that was setting up. They were waiting for an F-16 to do a flyover. Let them die. That's what they said. Let them die. And they all covered it up, from General Dempsey to Leon Pinheta to Hillary, and the one that came out and blamed some poor guy that's still rotting in jail for a video that was anti-Islam. Oh, man, are we in trouble? We're in trouble. They were all killed. Let me see here. So I said, the reason I mentioned Sean Smith, Ty Wood, Glenn Doherty, and one ambassador, every time the communist media announced the four that were killed in Benghazi, you know how they announced it? You know how they announced it. I'm going to refresh your memory. It was Ambassador Stevens, was that Chris Stevens? And three others. They wouldn't even give them the dignity of mentioning their names. The ambassador, the most important one, Chris Stevens, and three others. Three insignificants. Yes. I'm going to tell you about one of those insignificants. His name was Glenn Doherty. He was one of the four. He was a former U.S. This I'm taking from The Guardian in London. Guardian newspaper. Glenn Doherty was a former U.S. Navy Special Forces soldier. Now listen to this part. And co-author of a book 2 years ago titled, now that's 2 years ago from this article, titled Navy SEAL Sniper, an intimate look at the sniper of the 21st century. You heard what the communists said about Kyle, right? What did they say? He broke the vow of silence that the SEALs never reveal their tactics, never reveal their moves. And here's Glenn Doherty. He had a book before. And his sister, Kate Quigley, called him an American hero and described his involvement in the mission to rescue a soldier, Private Jessica Lynch. Do you remember her? Captured by Iraq at the beginning of the 2003 U.S. invasion. She was the first female captive. Doherty, 42, was working for a private security firm hired by the U.S. State Department. They have their own army. That's a little branch of Obama's army. Most of Obama, he recruits right from Gitmo. He wants terrorists right that are already trained. So Doherty, 42, was working, and he was there to guard Ambassador Chris Stevens, who was also killed in the attack. His autobiography described him as a combat-decorated SEAL who served the U.S. Navy for 9 years, who trained operators all over the world. He attended the SEAL Special Forces Medical School and was also trained as a sniper. He served in the military in Iraq and Afghanistan. After he left the Navy in 2005, he moved into private security, spent time in Israel, Pakistan, Kenya, among the other countries that Obama is losing. He has also previously served a 3-month stint in Libya. Quigley said Libya wasn't his favorite place. Doherty told ABC News last month he was working with the State Department in Libya to track down missiles that can shoot down planes, which were looted from military bases during the fall of Muammar Gaddafi, when Hillary and two other women laughed and joked, "We came, we saw, we killed him. Tee-hee, tee-hee-hee." And now, as a result of "we came and we saw and we killed him," we got a nightmare on our hands, and we lost 4 good men we didn't have to lose. Doherty said he had traveled throughout Libya chasing reports of the weapons, and once they were found, his team would destroy them on the spot by bashing them with hammers or repeatedly running over them with their vehicles. Doherty also sat on a board of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. I'm not even going to read that. Yeah, an organization combating religious influence in the military. Oh, what a shame. What a shame. Quigley said that means he's working with Mikey Weinstein, or was working. Quigley said she doubted her brother was a victim of a random protest over an anti-Muslim film. You have to understand, Glenn was highly trained. Too bad. Too bad. Then he got the story of Sean Smith. You met Sean Smith's mother, right? Obama looked in her eyes, said he's going to take care of everything. Get this woman out of here. Okay. So, having read that part about one of the heroes who put his life on the line, they were all killed in a country that we did not have to go to. Gaddafi had opened his nation to inspectors and abandoned his new program, while Bush was hanging Saddam. Congress did not approve Obama and Clinton's private war. Neither did they approve the overthrow of the Egyptian people in favor of the Muslim Brotherhood. Thanks to 6 years of the communist takedown of America, we are totally weak and exposed to a nuclear war. America in the 50s was better prepared. So I'm going to break for a tune. I'm going to give you something. Poor Marines, man. I got to tell you, Marine Corps has a policy. You're never without your weapon. And if you are caught without your weapon at any given time, you're made to sleep with it. So, for them to be ordered to hand over their weapons to terrorists as direct orders from the State Department, that goddamn State Department is nothing but a UN full of traitors. There are more communists in the State Department than any other agency, in my humble opinion. And they came there after World War II. So, having said that, I'm going to give you the Marine Corps battle hymn. Oh, no, that's the battle hymn of the Republic. U.S. Marine hymn. Oh, that looks like the same one. Let me try USMC hymn. Him, him, and him. That's it. Boots and saddles. I thought that Obama was a Muslim terrorist. And let me just say this about Obama. Since the day he got elected, I pray that no harm comes to him or his family or anybody that's around Obama. I pray no harm comes to him. Believe me, I do. But I say, you know what? We're better off with Biden than Obama. Biden does not like this country at all. And at first I thought he was totally Muslim, but he's communist and Muslim. He has opened up Cuba All right. If he hadn't gotten involved in Cuba and he was strictly in the Arab world, I'd say, well, the guy is a Muslim. A bad Muslim. Not like a good Muslim. But the fact that he's also opening up Cuba at the same time, that tells me he's a communist. He's an Islamo-Camo, or as Jimmy from Brooklyn calls them, Islamo-Leninists. So, having said that, I think he should be impeached. I would rather live with Biden. Biden won't hurt us as much as this guy will. This guy is going, he's working overtime to take us down. He's got all of the tools in place. He's got all of the wheels turning, and he's bringing down the country. He's going to break it financially. It's a communist tactic. Break it financially, destroy the military. Never forget, Stalin killed 6,000 of his own military officers he didn't trust. Obama's basically probably doing the same thing. He's not killing them. He's just removing them from positions where they can serve the country the best. And he's replacing them with people that will hurt the country or not capable of protecting the country. So I think it's time we impeach them. I was against impeachment, but I say now, let's go for it, because this guy is really going to take us down quickly. And the Arab world sees it. And I got to give special thanks, even though I know that the terrorists that hit us on 9/11 were Saudis, and they were deeply religious Muslims. I know that. I got to give kudos to Saudi Arabia, because I'll tell you what they're seeing that we're not seeing. They're seeing the end of Saudi Arabia, and they're seeing Saudi Arabia falling into Iranian hands. And that's why, and with the Russian help, and that's why oil is $50 a barrel tonight. They really feel that way, they should drop the price to $25. Drop the price to $25 a barrel, because when they come, they're going to take it away from you anyway. So spend the money to break them before they break you. So having said that, I do believe that the Democrat Party is the Communist Party, and guys like Hannity and Limbaugh and the untouchable Mark Levin, you got to start using the word communist, fellas. You're beating around the bush. You don't realize it, but you've been politically corrected in your mind. Don't say liberal. Don't say left wing. Don't say progressive. Say communist. The sooner we start using the word communist and recognize who we're up against, the sooner we can win our country back. And I do know that Americans are outnumbered by the communists in this country. Well, we're not all communists. I mean, not all the Democrats can be communists. Well, there's two types of communists. There's dedicated, plotting, planning communists, and then there's the ones that don't know that they're communists. That's it, man. And they outnumber us. That's why they got to elect President Pinocchio Pants. That's why they got to elect Obama, Bin Laden. And tonight, Jeb Bush is in New York, and they're raising $100,000 a plate at dinner. How's that? Does that make you feel comfortable? You know what I say about that? Largest champagne contribution from anybody, big or small, should be $1. And TV advertisement should be free for candidates. And that's how I feel about that. And that's why we're outnumbered, because the rhinos are Democrat light. And it's really sad. And thank God that Bush surrounded himself with competent people that kept him from making too many mistakes. One of the mistakes he made was two things he should have done when he got into Iraq. He should have set up Radio Free Europe Iran. They had some half-assed network there that didn't do anything. And the other thing he should have set up Radio Free Iran would have gotten those people riled up. And we were a half hour away from Ahmadine John's house. And he should have put the pressure on the mullahs at that time to give up their nukes, because the mullahs thought they were next, especially when they seen Uday's and Qusay at the airport full of lead. And then they saw Saddam being hanged. The mullahs thought the tanks were coming to them at their house next. And that was our time to coup de grace them all. So, see, it's easy when you're an armchair. When you got a swivel chair like I got, you can make all kinds of command decisions. Me and O'Reilly. O'Reilly's a general, too. We're both generals. Yeah. I like when O'Reilly says, I'm against the death penalty for the worst type of criminal. Send them to Alaska and for life. Why send them to Alaska? Why not send them to Hollywood? Yeah, what do you got against Alaskans? Unbelievable. So where are we tonight? Tehran threatens Saudi Arabia. This is from Memory. Memory is an Arab, a Middle Eastern Research Institute. That's what it stands for, Middle East Media Research Institute, 15 years in the making. And what they do is they read all of the periodicals coming out of the Middle East. They translate them in all languages. And they, let's see what it says here. And they are straight shooters, and they provide a lot of American intelligence to our side. Okay. Following Saudi Arabia's continued rejection of Iran's demand in recent months, this is what I'm telling you, right? To stop bringing down oil prices with its high production levels, produce more Saudis, these people will show you no mercy when they seize the holy cities of Mecca and Medina. Show them no mercy now. That's why you got that sword on the flag. To stop the Iranians. In the latter half of January 2015, Iranian spokesman, particularly Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, stepped up their threats to respond to Saudi Arabia by means of a blow with a blow. What's he going to do, drop the price of the oil? Yeah. You know what? I got to tell you, as a businessman, I offered the Saudis to store oil in the USA. And of course, it fell on deaf ears. I went to the Kingdom Holding Company. That's the Walid bin Talal, Sheikh Walid bin Talal. And I said, you got to consider that if terrorists get into Ras Tanura and blow up the refinery, that the price of oil is going to go through the roof and you're going to have no way of getting it out of the country. And I suggested that they store oil in the USA, you know, to tide them over for a couple of years. But, of course, great ideas always fall by the wayside. Anyway, where are we? He added that Tehran's response would be in the region and would be directed against Saudi allies. They could do to Ras Tanura. The Iranians could blow up Ras Tanura. If it happens, you'll know that not only am I an American sage, I'm also a prophet. Prophet making and no profit. Okay, what Saudi Arabia says it wants to do is to decide its own production quotas, and it's killing the Russians too, you know, because now they got to rely heavily on the arms sales and the nuke sales that they're making to Iran to get money to stay afloat. The Saudi conduct vis-a-vis OPEC is intolerable. It is a blow to OPEC and a blow to the Muslim nations. And we will answer blow with blow. And they also threaten little tiny Bahrain, because Bahrain is like a nephew of Saudi Arabia. And you know how they're threatening Bahrain? They're telling Bahrain that like Saddam told Kuwait that they were a satellite state. They're doing the same thing to Bahrain. Bahrain is nice people. They're all hardworking people. They don't have any oil. Their oil well, number one, was the only one they had, and it ran out in 1938. So if you go to Kuwait, everybody's driving big fancy cars, have servants, and there's only 2 million Kuwaitis, and I'm sure there's more than 2 million barrels a day coming out of the ground. And so the Kuwaitis live high on the hog. Now, out of a 2 million population, what do you think the ratio is women to men? Couldn't be 4-1, could it? Interesting, isn't it? 2 million Kuwaitis. I would love to have as a guest on my show a Kuwaiti who knows the ins and outs of Kuwait society and have him tell the audience how much they make, how much they get paid for every baby, what kind of a wedding gift that the government gives them. All their medicine is free. I think when I was there, they were getting $100,000 to buy a house. And after they made the mortgage payment for about 2 years, then they got the debt forgiven. And I'm sure it's more. I think they got $100,000 for getting married, and they got $15,000 for every kid. You could do real good, huh? If you have four wives, that's four weddings. That's four different houses. And then that's maybe 40 kids. Unbelievable. I would love to have a Kuwaiti come and talk to the American people about the benefits of what you can do when you produce more oil revenue than the government can spend, as opposed to being living in the United States where you are the oil well that the government is drilling. They're drilling you. Going to give you a little Dixie and we'll take a there's a headline in Newsmax says Whitney Houston's daughter is showing signs of opening her eyes. And she may be coming out of the coma. And the family of Bobby Christina Brown isn't giving up hope on the survival of the only child of Whitney Houston. They were going to pull the plug on her on the anniversary of her mother's death. How sad. I did a blog once on Whitney Houston. And with all her money and success, she was happier when she was 11 years old singing for God in a church. She was happier than she ever was for the rest of her life. It is really sad. And so I was very numb when I saw her, Lilo Brown, and told the TV station, remembering the first time she saw her niece in a hospital on a ventilator. It has been very painful for everybody, mainly Bobby, because that's his baby. She said of Bobby, Christina's father, Bobby Brown, who used to beat her mother. Yeah, it is sad, man. It is really sad. And they're hoping that the girl will be fine. When they first announced that she was in a coma, She was rushed to the hospital. They said she had been in a bathtub. But it wasn't until later that they said she was found in the bathtub face down. That's an eerie thought. Why would she be face down? And they're saying it wasn't a suicide attempt, and she had bruises on her face. Well, the truth will come out eventually, no matter how many lawyers you have. God knows the truth. He saw the whole thing. But anyway, wish her a clean recovery. I really do. There's enough sorrow in the world. You got Muslims burying Christian children alive, and other children alive, other Muslim children alive. It's a real sad state of affairs. And I got a feeling that the jihadis feel they're on a roll, and they might know more than we do. There's a released Guantanamo terrorist was killed in Afghanistan recruiting for ISIS. We've been trying to stop. This is from, let me see who this is from, Daily Sanity. We've been trying to stop Obama from releasing terrorists from Gitmo for months. Our argument is, but that's his army. He's been training his army. He's now bringing them into the battlefield. Our argument is simple. If these extremists, why are they there in the first place? They're there in the first place because they killed Americans. And they were captured on the battlefield or in hiding after an attack. They already killed Americans, and Obama is releasing them to go kill more Americans. And he's sneaking Americans back so they have some targets. He made a big marching parade out of Iraq. We're out of Iraq. Well, I got Bin Laden. I got Brian Williams. I got NBC. Yeah. They didn't tell you that he gave Bin Laden 4 months to escape. If you were at 911, as a living witness to those people jumping out of the windows and off the building and seeing them, seeing chopped meat in the street in a suit, dress, you would say, as soon as we know where that bastard is, he's got to go. Obama took 4 months to make the hit. 4 months he gave Bin Laden to get away. And here's another little something that you don't know about the State Department and Obama, Bin Laden. Israel had made an agreement with Azerbaijan that if Israel was to fly over Iran and take out all of the nuclear sites, that they would be allowed to land in Azerbaijan, which is on the other side of Iran. It borders the other side of Iran. And they could refuel and come back to Israel. The State Department told the Iranians about it. And now Obama is sending a team over there to take out Netanyahu. What are we doing getting involved in other countries' politics with active participants? What are we doing? And now the Democrats, and I hear a lot of Jewish guys saying that Savage tonight called the Jewish people who are not supporting Israel gynos. You know, like rhinos, Republicans in name only. He's calling them gynos, Jews in name only. How can you not, after watching the Holocaust, seeing what happened, the helplessness of people, the hopelessness of people, scratches on the walls in Dachau, in the gas chambers, where people were trying, murdered like rats in a room. How can you not support Israel? It might be the last outpost for Jewish people. Already, Jewish people are pulling out of France, and now they're pulling out of Britain. It is really sad. It is really sad. My clan is merged with the House of David, so I have foreskin in the game. Okay, Let me go back to what we were talking about. Obama has been releasing terrorists. Take Mullah Abdul Rauf, for example. This man was a Taliban commander. You know the five he released for Bo Bergdahl? Do you know who they were? Two were province governors. One was the governor of two provinces, and the other one was the governor of one province. Another one was their CIA chief. And another one was involved in the murder of a CIA team. And I forget who the fifth one was. But they were all high echelon people. He has put their government back in action. Take Mullah Abdul Rauf, for example, Taliban commander captured in 2001. Then he was in charge of an elite group of soldiers who terrorized the Taliban's enemies. He was held until 2007, and then he fell off the grid. Fast forward to today, the Pentagon just announced that it killed Abdul Rauf in a drone strike in Afghanistan. His crime, he became a recruiter for ISIS. The assertion that these terrorists are going to give up trying to kill Americans is ludicrous. Do you know what they were doing in Yemen when they captured terrorists? They were putting them in prison, but they allowed them to go home for lunch and at night. The GOP is working on legislation that would stop Obama from releasing. Yeah, the GOP. The GOP has a gap. The GOP sucks. They're just a Democrat light. So, and they're not the only ones. Got 17 minutes left. Going to play Auld Lang Syne for the Marines that are taking a shellacking and they're having their hands tied. Good. We're back. Chapter 6 of my book, 911 Marines, I Kept a Vow. Play Danny Boy. All on 911 New Yorkers. There are 911 New Yorkers from all over the country who have pledged their lives and sacred fortunes because once they die, they stop making money. And their widows have to carry the load. And they vowed to avenge 911. And I'm in my chapter 6, I have a picture of a military Marine formation. And they're forming 9-11, an American flag held by four Marines. And then it says, we, in formation, remember. 911, we remember. And this is what they asked me to do for them. They asked anybody to do it. I chose to do it. The proud warriors of Baker Company wanted to do something to pay tribute to our fallen comrades. Skin in the game. 99% of all Americans have no idea what's going on. Do you know if you went to a college tomorrow, communist college, and why would you pay $40,000 a year to become a communist? You can become a communist for nothing. Go to a communist college. You go to anyone and ask them who Abe Lincoln was. 9 out of 10 people will tell you he freed the vampires. Baker Company says, We wanted to pay a tribute to our fallen comrades. So since we are part of the only, you listening to this, the only Marine Infantry Battalion left in Iraq, the one way that we could think of doing that is by taking a picture of Baker Company saying the way we feel. It would be awesome if you could find a way to share this with our fellow countrymen. I was wondering if there was any way to get this into your papers and let the world know that we have not forgotten and are proud to serve our country, Semper Fi, and the media hid their request. But it's in my book. So if you want to see Baker Company, go to Chapter 6 in the Spirit of America Party. Some are even starting to hide the pictures of the World Trade Center. Clinton gave us the World Trade Center. Those towers are the Clinton Towers. In 1993, Al-Qaeda struck for the first time. They sent in a truckload of explosives into the basement of the World Trade Center. And the media laughed it off. The media will also laugh off the disappearance of cities in a nuclear attack, because the first order from the president will be, don't tell them California's missing. Some are starting to hide the pictures of the WTC, believing America can't handle the truth. It should be on a stamp. You know, I tried to get a stamp. They wouldn't do it. It should be, you know, you can make your own stamps. They wouldn't do it. It should be out front to remind us how vulnerable we are, so we can wise up and live free. I am looking at two pictures that are heartbreakers. One to remind you that terrorists care about no one. A young Iraqi covered in blood is sitting on a hospital gurney where his older brother is covered in death. And the second one is on a headstone that should burn into your memory. The top jump floor of the towers. The epitaph should be, today we die for freedom. Give us American justice. There is no American justice anymore. Judges are corrupt. Judges are communist. We got to do one term per termite throughout the land, any political position. Supreme Court judge or president. One term per termite. Firemen fires away the boo heard round the nation. This fireman pulls no punches. He was a fire lieutenant, and he sent a memo to Bill Clinton. Stay away. As somebody involved and affected by the events of September 11, I have a request for you, former President Bill Clinton. Please do not attend any event that involves the members of the New York City Fire Department. Do not attend any memorial service, concert, or other gathering. And most importantly, do not set foot on a hallowed site known as Ground Zero. Hallowed site known as Ground Zero. And Mohammed Bloomingdale, the mayor of New York, invited terrorists to put up a mosque across the street. And we took it. Americans take everything today. We're face down, pants down. In my opinion, and it is one shared by most of my fire department New York brethren, you are the single individual in this country most responsible for the events of that infamous day. Your emasculation of the military, doubled by Obama, Bin Laden. And our intelligence agencies, and tonight we're reporting that we have no intelligence in the Middle East at all, contributed significantly to the evil perpetrated on so many innocent Americans. I believe if you save a terrorist, then you get paid. I believe if an Emirates, a prince, is hunting with Osama bin Laden, doing falconry in the Hindu Kush, and a satellite picks them up, and the president is told we can take them out, and he says we can't because we got to protect the Emirates prince. There's money there. Oh, no. No, not a bribe. Not an American president. Please fast forward this request to your spouse and her treacherous coterie of Blame America Firsters. She was the first one to scream when the towers came down. What did Bush know and when did he know it? But when the towers were hit in 93 by Osama, she didn't say anything. They laughed. Stupid Muslims. They can't even collapse a building. But they got better at it, didn't they? And they never gave up. They came back 8 years later to finish the job. And you don't think this one's going to stand forever, do you? Not if they have their way. They're going to give you a reminder. See, we did it once, we did it twice, and we're back. Please also forward this request to your spouse. And also tell her that you have finally discovered your legacy. It sits in a smoldering room at Liberty and West Streets. Imagine being called Liberty Plaza. People call it 911, but Al-Qaeda calls it 911, their cruel joke. So what happened? What did Hillary do after she said, what did Bush know and when did she know it? She was getting ready to get the Senate seat from the Communist Party in New York. So she thought this would be good footage if she covered the funeral. Even in tragedy, the Clintons exploit New York. I saw this. It was not about a funeral. It was about a political propaganda campaign, and they used the NYCFD for ratings because as soon as she finished, the coverage ended. It began and ended with her, and I hope that the NYFD picked up on it. And comments about the insulting exploitation later. Hillary crashed. That's what she did. She crashed the funeral of Father Michael Judge with a CNN camera crew, Communist News Network. Just as the priest and fireman were bringing his body in, she walked down a row of firefighters, thrusting her hand out, and you could see the disgust, the look of disgust on their grief-stricken faces. At least one fireman in his work clothes who came direct from the pile turned his back on her. That will be edited out. She's got that footage somewhere, and she'll use it when it suits her. But you will see this footage again during Hillary's run for International Queen. Ironic that a woman who hates uniforms and orders her staff not to look in her eyes is so outgoing at press time. What you see, you will not get, but justice was served when the cops booed her off the stage, shouting, "Take Richard Gere with you." Remember Senator Chuck Schumer standing on top of the pulverized bodies of New York cops, Port Authority workers, EMS, and New York City Fire Department Freedom Angels? There he stood on the ruins of the WTC. I can hear other words as they echo in my boff bag. He said, "I love this city today. I finished this sentence, but I vote party over country. Burn those 343 flags. I voted to do it once, and I'll do it again." Thank you, NYPD, for a great job at the WTC. You will never be paid what you're worth, and you will never be appreciated for putting your life on the line 24/7. Just keep the bad guys off the streets and stay safe, stay strong, and don't let the communists set you up playing the race card. There's a lot of dirty work to do, even though the sanitation makes more than you. Sanitation workers make more than cops. And so back then, there are anti-cop groups who want to humiliate you and reduce you to eunuchs with empty guns. Do your best because no one comes close at all to what you give New York. It would be nice to see the NYPD Brotherhood match the Firefighters Brotherhood. Everybody loves a fireman because all they do is save lives. But sometimes a cop has to take a life to save a life. People will tell you how to do your job, but their feet are too small to fill your shoes. The psychological price is higher for cops. Stay strong, drink less, stay close to God. Let's see what I can do about beds in the precincts, kitchens. We can share quality time with the firehouse. Surf and turf beats donuts any day. Okay, so that's in my book. That's chapter 6. And before we run out of time, I want to talk about bringing back the draft. Bring back the draft. And the song I play is Americano. He's driving a Jeep, but he ain't in the army. Gets all the cigarettes from his mommy. So I got a picture of a GI that was at the Battle of Fallujah. You know the story of the Battle of Fallujah? That goddamn communist State Department did it again. They ordered the Marines. The Marines were ordered to take Fallujah. They were halfway through the city, and they were taking casualties. And one guy, listen to this one. One guy, cameraman, from NBC, and I forget his name, was Kevin Seitz. I think his name was Kevin Seitz. And what he did, as these GIs were falling off and getting killed, taking a Fallujah, he got behind one Marine who was finishing off a twitching Al-Qaeda. And he filmed the guy putting the final rounds into him. And then NBC went out with war atrocities. And Chris Matthews, the coward of Vietnam who hid out in Swaziland, you didn't know that. He's decorated for his guacamole dip by Jimmy Carter. Matthews had on a Medal of Honor traitor. The guy's name was Colonel Jacobson, I believe. And he sentenced that Marine to die. He called that Marine, who was finishing off. He just lost two buddies in the building behind him. And he wanted to make sure that nobody finished him off because he wanted to go home in one piece. And he clipped the Al-Qaeda that was still twitching. And Colonel Jacobson said to the communist Chris Matthews, who always tells everybody he's Irish Catholic. Yeah. Tell it to the Marines. And he called the Marine that did that jazzed up. He was jazzed up. Yeah, you know what jazzed up means? Your adrenaline's pumping and you got your finger on the trigger and you're shooting anything that moves. Yeah, the rule of thumb was, if it shoots, move. If it moves, shoot. Yeah. Okay. So, why should we bring back the draft? I got a picture of that Marine in Fallujah. And so what happened? He got halfway through Fallujah, and the State Department decided they're going to negotiate. They're going to negotiate the jihadists again with the communists. And they said, you know what? We're going to pull back. And we're going to start negotiations. So get all of those military guys in the back. And get them out of there. Get them out of Fallujah. And every place they took, they have to give back to the jihadists. And we're going to negotiate. And then they sat down to negotiate. They got nowhere. And they said, these negotiations are going nowhere. Send the Marines back in. You know what they should have done to those guys? The Marines should have tied them to the front of berm busters and given them cameras to take pictures of the bullets. And those Marines had to go back in and take Fallujah a second time. And receive a second round of casualties for the same territory. And that's why we're losing. And I'll tell you, if I was in the service today, I'd quit. You tell me I couldn't carry my weapon? I say, hey, listen, that was my job. I got to be with my weapon. I go where my weapon goes. Well, you're not going to be allowed to have your weapon. Well, that's it. My job is over. I quit. We'll put you in Leavenworth. Oh, okay. Put me in Leavenworth. You got other guys there that you tried for premeditated murder on the battlefield, and they got 15 years in jail and were convicted by six officers who never once seen a day of combat. There's got to be a better balance into what we're doing than what we're doing now, my fellow Americans. So he fights your battles, and I got a picture of that Marine. It's a classic picture. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. And when I took the picture, I said, you know, you could be tried for violating the smoking laws. You're not allowed to smoke. And he was smoking, man. He was smoking. Yeah. So, Why should he only, he fight your battles and you cry about secondhand smoke? Why should only he die for thee? He does not get his cigarette money from his mommy. What happened to A Pluribus Unum? If you never served, you never served. If it was up to me, you would get only 1/8 of a vote. Now take that dress off and get out of the lifeboat, Titanic man. Nobody wants to draft, especially the military. Who wants to hear crybabies 24 hours a day? Who wants to listen to the why and where questions? Why do we have to? Why me? Where is my mommy? I don't want to witness mind fragmentation again. Besides, the media will scream outrage when their 1.0 child is drafted. Cowards will pretend they're opposing the war because they're in it. Who wants to send flag burners for more ammo? The higher the college grades, the better to climb the Hindu Kush. We can't save the potheads and communist AIDS carriers of the 60s, the unwashed, but we can begin a future generations fund. And the one reason to begin the draft is to get ready for war, and we got to get ready for war. The United States has a tactic that is going to get us all killed, and it's called, we take the first hit and then we respond. You can't do that in a nuclear war. You got to strike first. The one reason to begin the draft is to get ready for war, which none of us want, but neither did those who went before us. So why bring back the draft? One, it brings us together as a nation. Two, it gives us a sense of pride and esprit de corps. Three, it takes us out of our environment for the big look. Four, you will never be in better physical shape. Five, it teaches teamwork and respect for each other. Six, it matures a person rapidly. Seven, you get to serve your country. Eight, it is the best place to start the American journey. Nine, it helps you focus on your future. 10, everybody should serve their country once. And 11, everybody gets to wear the same underwear. The beginning of Bring Back the Draft. Bring Back the Draft, I think, is chapter 8 in my book, The Spirit of America Party. You should get the book any way you can. Go to a library and rent it or check it out. I'm going to close with a tune. I'm going to play Unchained Melody.
Oh, my love.
For the troops.
My darling, I've hungered for your touch along lonely time. In time so slowly, and time can do so much for you, still more. I need your love. Speed your love to me. Lonely rivers flow to the sea, to the open arms of the sea. Wait for me, I'll be coming home. Wait for me. Oh, my love.
Have a nice night, folks.